How's that for a vivacious way to start worship? Good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we're so glad that you are with us today. Today is a Communion Sunday. In fact, it's World Communion Sunday. As well as Access Sunday. We'll be celebrating Access Sunday today. Normally it's celebrated on the second Sunday of October every year, but since I won't be with you next week, since I'll be on vacation, I decided to be selfish so that I could have Access Sunday with you today. We're doing it today. I'm really excited about, I'm always really excited to share Access Sunday with you because, it's part of the work that I do for the wider church. As you know, I'm, the secretary of the Disabilities Ministries Board, and I'm also the chair of the committee that puts all of these resources together for the National Church. So I have several friends who contributed various liturgy pieces from all around the country. In fact, most of those folks I've never actually met in person, but we know each other very well because of the wonderful ways that Zoom keeps us all connected to each other. So it'll be. I'm really excited to share with you all of those resources, and there will be a song later on that I helped write and put together, and that was a really fun project, and I'll say a little bit more about that later. But as always, if you want to find out more about the work that the UCC Disabilities Ministries Board does, you can do so at ucccdm.org. As I mentioned, I'll be on vacation starting technically on Friday, although I'll be out of the office on Thursday because on Friday I'm officiating a college friend's wedding in the Fox Valley area. So on Thursday, I have to be in the Fox Valley for the rehearsal and everything. However you want to look at it, I'll be working from home on Thursday, but then officially start vacation on Friday. It just so happened that the two kind of happened at the same time. John will be preaching next week, and he'll be on call should you need anything in my absence, I will be with you again on Sunday the 19th. It's going to be kind of a bunch of different things going on. Rafi and I and my immediate family are visiting some friends in Chicago. We're watching our friend run the Chicago Marathon, and then the following week, my mom has a 40th year class reunion in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and. Because of her recent brush with mortality, she felt like it was really important to go to a 40-year class reunion. So the five of us are renting a beach house in the Carolina Beach, Wilmington area, and staying there for a few days, and then visiting my aunt and uncle. In Chapel Hill, so it'll be a fun week, and really excited for all of that. So I will be thinking of you all and always grateful for being with you and the time that I get to for rest and renewal. Lots of folks have joked with me over the years, "What, you're going on vacation again?" Because I get 4 weeks of vacation right. You know, I got 4 weeks of vacation right off the jump, and for a first job, my dad informed me that that is not normal. I'm very, very grateful for that. One other announcement that I had. Confirmation this coming week. We normally would have had it last week, but because it was homecoming for the Waupun School District and there was a Powerpuff football game, we didn't want to deny the kids an opportunity to go to the Powderpuff game. So we are having confirmation this coming week instead. And also, the finance committee is meeting, and this is the meeting where we determine the budget that we will be presenting to the congregation for approval in November. So please keep the finance committee in prayer as we discern how to best steward the resources that God has given us. Any other announcements this morning?
Piggybacking off of what you said, the finance committee likes to get any committee chair needs to submit your budget request to either Chris, or you can just forward it to me by tomorrow if possible, because they need it for Wednesday night's meeting.
Yes.
And then also I need a liturgist for the 19th and the 26th.
Thank you, Alana. Yeah, so if you're a committee chair and you haven't gotten those in yet, those are late. They absolutely need to be in by tomorrow at the very latest so that your committee has a budget for next year. Chris Van Buren and her abundant mercy will have to find ways to keep you having a budget next year. Any other announcements? Okay, then in that case, let us share the peace of Christ with one another.
You too, lady.
3-6 is code for getting rid of something, right?
I have no idea.
4-7 is code.
You're way too complicated.
He's missing out a great chance too. It's a real convenience that we already had.
I could have said you're the best in my life trying to figure it out.
Come and find the quiet center. please rise and join me in the call to worship? In the midst of the mess, life is meant to be experienced. In the middle of our not yet, or after I get my life together, we are invited by God to live fully. From within our body minds that unpredictably throw chaos into our lives, God calls us into the fullness of life now. It is a radical act to live well when the world demands our exile. Let us accept God's invitation. Join me in the opening prayer. God of a disabled joy, you meet us in every moment, reminding us that we are not only allowed to experience the fullness of life at any point in time, but we are called to live abundantly wherever we are. May we enjoy robust, complicated, and grace-filled days accordingly. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Just As I Am, and it says here we are using new words, but the same old tune, number 354.
Oh,
through 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. From the New Testament, we have Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Here ends the readings from today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Deanne. Our media song is a song that I co-wrote with my friend Maggie Gezian. Several other folks joined us on the recording. This is "God Needs Us to Live."
Too many times, too many ways we're broken, too many ways that we are not enough. God's image of humanity includes our image too. God's working through our body minds the things that we can do. 'Cause we are called by God, called loved and whole exactly as we are. We're not mistakes that ought to cease to be. We'll make our homes and plant our gardens just the way we are. Our thriving is your thriving, so God needs us to live. We've known too many times when we've been called too much, when all we needed was someone who cared. The webs of our connections are what will help us thrive. The kingdom's full of people who will act with care and love. 'Cause we are called by God, called loved and whole exactly as we are. We're not mistakes that ought to cease to be. We'll make our homes and plant our gardens just the way we are. Our thriving is your thriving, so God needs us to live.
God needs us to live. will help us heal the world. Assistive aids are tools for justice too.
A power share or stemming hands are vital things for life. And just like food and water, they sustain us for the fight. 'Cause we are called by God, called loved and whole exactly as we are. We're not mistakes that ought to cease to be. We'll make our homes and plant our gardens just the way we are. Our thriving is your thriving, so God needs us to live. Called loved and whole exactly as we are. We're not mistakes that ought to cease to be. We'll make our homes and plant our gardens just the way we are. Our thriving is your thriving, so God needs us to live.
That was really fun to put together. That song came from four of us in different states. We were never in the same room to do any of this, including writing it. Maggie and I wrote it over FaceTime, and then Richard in his studio in Iowa did some things. Rob in his studio did a few things. I think Rob lives in Pennsylvania, and Maggie lives in California. And then I brought it all together at my studio here. So that was really, really fun. So will you be in prayer with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So as I was putting the finishing touches on the lyric video that you just saw, and I was writing that song with my friend Maggie, I thought about the networks of support that I have in my own life. I have my faith in God. I have a loving fiance, a supportive family, and a church community that encourages me to grow. There have been so many ways that you all have helped me in my own faith journey and in my own life journey. And so today I want to talk about the networks of support that we all have, which is, I think, an important part of the work of Access Sunday. And then I want to circle back and talk about how we can be supportive for one another as we make this world more accessible for all people. So these networks of support are not things I take for granted, because not everybody is privileged to have the kind of support that I have. And sometimes even the support systems that disabled people do have don't always get them what they need, and thus the inequities continue to hurt them. In addition to celebrating Access Sunday today, as I said, we're celebrating World Communion Sunday, which in many churches recognizes that one of the most vital celebrations we have as Christians is to remember that the church extends far beyond our individual faith communities or the buildings they worship in. The Jesus movement extends beyond race or gender identity or disability or sexual orientation or socioeconomic status. And I talk about being the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And honestly, both World Communion Sunday and Access Sunday are recognitions of that call. Like the song says, God needs us to live, both in the metaphorical and the literal sense. God needs us to live so that God's hope can continue to touch the lives of others and that the Jesus movement may continue. That theme is present in both of the texts that Deanne just read for us, and I want to talk about how our sources of support offer us the opportunity to be the best of ourselves, and how all of that contributes to God's realm of peace, love, and justice. In order to understand the need for these support networks, understanding at least a bit of the historical realities of the biblical time and the prophet Jeremiah is important. In this passage, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to Judeans who were forcibly relocated to Babylon. They've lost a lot, livelihoods, homes, maybe even family members, and a sense of their own agency. And so they wanted comfort from Jeremiah. But Jeremiah doesn't offer comfort. Jeremiah tells these exiles to basically, where you find lemons, make lemonade. Build houses, plant gardens, have children, have families, or as the commentator Melissa Ramos puts it, stop waiting and live. That's not necessarily the message you want to hear if you're trying to get out of the situation that you find yourself in, but yet that is so often the reality for disabled people. We're instructed to make the best of it when our society is not built for us and maybe even built for our exclusion. We're instructed to pray for the success of our government when our government has for so long passed legislation that works to our detriment. So many disabled folks can probably have a lot in common with the Babylonian exile. But lest we think there's no good news, the commentator Bobby Morris reminds us that God is with God's people no matter what. Thank God this is the case, he says, especially when what is needed may be a full engine overhaul rather than just an oil change. Indeed, the systems that society have put in place to put people in boxes will probably need to be completely overhauled in order for everybody to have what they need. And if the current state of our country is any indication, without getting political, it might get worse before it gets better. In his commentary for The Bible and Disability, J. Blake Coy reminds us that two chapters later in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 31, God doesn't focus on making the blind see or making people able to walk. God changes the road, the system by which they live and thrive. Instead of changing people's bodies, the text describes changing the environment so that disabilities don't make it harder. Those are the kinds of ways that our systems need to change and expand their thinking. And that kind of work can only be accomplished when we have people willing to be advocates, to notice that something needs to change and actually put in the work of making that change happen. So, that was probably a lot, but let me bring this all together. If you get nothing out of today's sermon other than this, let it be this. The connections that we have with one another and the ways that we employ creativity to make the world more accessible not only help us as individuals thrive, but it also helps our community thrive. Now, this might not look how we expect. We might not experience large amounts of gratitude for the work that we do to make the world more accessible. Even Jesus had to wrestle with the fact in today's gospel text that only one person came and thanked him profusely for healing him. But that's never been the point. We do this work because we understand the assignment of what God expects of us: to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this church has done a lot of that work as well. We've done a lot of work on our building, on what some people call the physical plant. Some of that work has been to sustain the structural integrity of the building, but some of that work has been in trying to create more accessible and open-hearted spaces. One of the property committee's future projects involves intentionally accessible parking that expands on what's already available. We also had a conversation on environmental sustainability. And how all of that leads to better life for all people who visit this church. And there are so many ways that you all have been a network of support for me as I've arrived, and I appreciate that more than I could ever say. And yet, far beyond patting ourselves on the back or resting on our laurels, I think that this congregation understands that there is always more work to be done to create the kind of world that God wills. So on this Access Sunday, and on this World Communion Sunday, and every Sunday, how will we do our part to create a community of faith which leads to everyone's thriving? How will we do our part so that accessibility extends beyond ramps or accessible parking, but in how we live out our mission? And in doing so, how will we do that so that our work, our networks of support remain strong? I experience so much hope and joy in who you are and what you do. I experience so much hope and joy in who we can become together with God's help. I see so much potential in who we are and what we do. God needs us to be God's hands and feet so that we always get closer and closer to the world that God wills. So may we work together toward a better, more accessible world, not just because it's a nice idea and not just because it might bring more people to our church, but because we are a stronger community when our networks of support are strong, and when we are a more diverse community. May it be so. Amen. So now, let us enter into a time of prayer. I want to first start by some silent prayer as we think of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today, and then I'll offer the opportunity for us to share our prayers with one another. Amen. So I have a few prayer requests, and as usual, I will invite us into an intercession by saying, God, in your mercy, and if you'd like, you can respond with, receive our prayer. So I ask for continued prayers for Sandra Champion as she's being monitored for a brain injury. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
Also for Kathy Vanderbush as she continues treatment and next steps. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayer.
And for the support networks that help us all thrive, the ways that you support one another through food and being on the care committee and all of the different ways that we can all support each other and make worship and life accessible for one another, and all of the ways that we can work together to continue that work to make the world more accessible for all. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayers.
What other prayers do we bring this morning? Yes, Janet.
I have a joy and prayers. My husband's going on the Badger Honor Flight Saturday, and my son is his guardian, which I just find an incredible role reversal. And just prayers for the whole flight, for their safety. It's a long day, and a lot of aging people, so that it just prayers it all goes well.
Amen. Mick and for their Tyler as they go on this flight. God, in your mercy.
Receive our prayers.
Anything else today?
Jacob?
Yeah. Oh.
I have a joy.
Hang on.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well. Okay.
Our grandson was homecoming king, and his girlfriend was the queen this weekend, so it was a fun weekend with the football game and the parade. And
oh, how wonderful.
Good family time.
How wonderful. And what are their names?
Gage and Kelly.
Gage
Salso and Kelly Mitchell.
Yeah, for Gage and Kelly and their celebration with homecoming. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, we give you thanks for this community of faith that meets one another in its joy, in its sorrows, and in its uncertainty. We give you thanks for the network of support that we can be to one another. We give you thanks for the ways that we continue to show love and care to one another. And that is how this world will be made better. That's how this world will be made more accessible to all. That's how this world will be made a kinder, more loving place. We ask for you to empower us to be networks of support to many people whose names have been shared, for Sandra and Kathy, for Mick and for Tyler, and for Sue's grandchildren, and for all of the special occasions. We ask that you empower us to be networks of support when the systems fail because of homelessness, food insecurity, poverty, socioeconomic challenges, discrimination in all of its forms. We ask that you continue to be with us and help us know the way towards better fullness of life. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who showed us the way and taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As ushers come around, you may place a gift in the offering plate, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give with the recognition that your gift benefits not only this local church, but the church universal. And also, if you are at home joining us, this is also a reminder to grab your communion elements, as we'll be celebrating that shortly. Rise up. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God, who loves us exactly as we are, thank you for this opportunity to celebrate the gifts of our disabled siblings. With these gifts of time, talent, treasure, and prayer, help us to work with you to create a world where all your creation can thrive. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who offers hope and liberation for all. Amen. You may be seated. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks that this is an open communion table of the United Church of Christ, knowing that this table does not belong to us. Rather, Christ is the host and invites all of us to participate, whether you are a member of this church or this denomination or not. This table is set for you, and all are welcome here. Every time we share in this holy meal, Jesus reminds us that his love, his sacrifice, is given for all people. Those who have shared in this remembrance many times before, and those who never have. Those who know they belong, and those who have been told the lie that their disability, their race, their gender identity or sexual orientation, their beliefs or their past would prevent them from having a place at God's table. Jesus broke down the barriers to accessibility and made this table a sign of his love, accessible to all. In John's gospel, he countered the popular belief that disability was connected with sin and empowered people to tell their own stories about how his presence in their lives led to their thriving. And so we pray. God of access and abundance, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the ways you meet us here and remind us we belong. At the same time, we remember the harm done, both in biblical times and today, to disabled people everywhere, in our worship spaces, in our society, in our community. We shut the doors of access that Jesus desired to always be open wide. Because of disabilities that are both visible and invisible, our prejudices have led us to forget the very core of Christ's message, that God welcomes all and desires a world where all have what they need. Forgive us, O God. We remember on the night of his betrayal that Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given for you and for all. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." Today, we might experience that message in this way. Remember how my mission has always been to offer societal healing and challenge assumptions. In the same way, after they were finished eating, Jesus took a cup, poured it out, and lifted it up, and gave thanks. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you." This is a symbol of the new covenant that I make with you and with everyone, that their sins may be forgiven. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. Today we might experience that message in this way. Remember how this new covenant offers newness of life, so that the lies we've been told about our worth and the worth of others at this table will have no power over us. So come, Holy Spirit, make these elements signs and symbols of your love, which is truly accessible to all. And help us repent from any ideologies that prevent us from sharing that love. As you come and share communion, you may come up by way of the center aisle and take a piece of bread and eat it, and then take a cup drink of it and return to your seats by way of the side aisle. Remember that the bread in the larger trays is gluten, has gluten in it. And if anybody has gluten sensitivities, you can take from the center, smaller bowl that has gluten-free bread. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer after communion. Holy One, we thank you for your presence with us at this table. Help us leave this place understanding how you break down walls of exclusion. Help us live out your call to experience the same joy we find in you. Amen. Our final hymn is called as Partners in Christ's Service, number 581. Join together in our mission and vision statements. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example while seeking God's blessing on our lives and on our communities. Living our core values, we, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all, through love and a commitment to Christ. The choir is going to offer a short benediction.
Amen. Not the first time, won't be the last time. Let's just try again, okay?
Our time together comes to a close, but still the power of God's Spirit flows,
and will continue flowing even when we say Amen. We say Amen.
May God surround you.
My friends, receive these words of benediction. Beloved, may we leave this place transformed by the example of Jesus' ministry among those whom the world had written off. May we be emboldened to welcome those who've been shut out, empowered to be in community with those who are often overlooked and even forgotten. May we live and move in and with deep gratitude for the invitation and opportunity to partner with God in loving others. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.